It is Free for All Friday here on the Council of Trent podcast. Mondays and Wednesdays, we talk apologetics and theology. Friday, we talk about whatever I want to talk about. And today, I am talking about the TV dads who let us down. They were the ones we looked up to. They were the ones that taught us those important life lessons about how it's wrong to try to cheat your way through school or sneak out with your best friend, Richard Milhouse DeBone, a.k.a. Boner, probably then realizing you shouldn't have a best friend whose nickname is Boner. I'm, of course, referring to Growing Pains. The wonderful dad there, Alan Thicke, telling that rebellious Mike Seaver what he should and shouldn't be doing. Though it's funny, though, Mike Seaver, Kirk Cameron, really grows up to be the most pious person after his conversion to evangelical Christianity. Yeah, I just wanted to talk about the TV dads today because I realized, oh, there's a few of them that they were the ones you looked up to, and then they had these horrible scandals, and you're like, oh my gosh, that completely contrasts with their clean-cut image. Now, thankfully, I'm not sure if there are any scandals of some of the other dads that helped me, but I mean, think about yourself. Who are the dads that you looked up to? Mine would definitely include Uncle Phil from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. What millennial does not remember that scene where Will Smith's at the house? I mean, come on, you got to know the story of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air in West Philadelphia, born and raised on the playground is where I spent most of my days. Going to live with his family in Bel-Air. But then his deadbeat dad shows up for Will Smith saying, you know, hey, we're going to be together, going to be a family, I'm going to take you on a road trip. And Uncle Phil knows this guy's a deadbeat. He makes promises all the time and he doesn't keep them. And Will Smith doesn't believe him until his dad walks out on him again. And Will Smith tells Uncle Phil, like, I'm gonna be the best dad. Why didn't he love me, Uncle Phil? Why didn't he love me? It's always sad, but you shouldn't make fun of these. These are serious things. They are serious. And that was really a good performance by Will Smith there. But I mean, it still doesn't rival the diet pills in Saved by the Bell. I'm so excited. I'm so scared, Zach. Which, I mean, abusing pills, things that is serious. But when you put it into these kinds of shows, it becomes less so, I imagine. So Uncle Phil, Alan Thicke from Growing Pains, that was a huge one for me. Not Patrick Duffy as much from Step by Step. I don't remember him as much. There's too many zany antics going on there. Oh, the dad from Boy Meets World. Although really, Mr. Feeney was more the father figure in Boy Meets World. I haven't found any scandals amongst them, but I do have scandals with some of the other dads we grew up with. So I'm going to be going back in chronological order, starting with the oldest. So if you're from more of the baby boomer generation, Gen X, definitely, you might remember this one, Little House on the Prairie. We started watching this with our kids, and they like it. At first, they didn't, but they love the Little House books. So they really enjoyed the Little House books, and so we started watching Little House on the Prairie. And the show is, the storylines are only vaguely related to the book. I mean, the books, they're not that long, right? The show ran for like 8 years. So you're going to come up with a lot more stories that were not in the books. I mean, you have a lot of the characters, like Nellie Olson is bad in the book, and she's spoiled and stuck up in the show. And so they get a lot of that stuff right. And the main dynamics, the Ma and Pa Ingalls and the girls who live with them, they're living out in the house that's right on the edge of the town where they're at. And so it's, you know, life in the Old West, in the late 19th century. And it's just, you'll see this wholesome show. And Michael Landon plays, you know, Pa Ingalls, you know, the frontier dad, husband, always has that, you know, perfect half smile he makes, like, oh, let me teach you the lesson here. And he's the patriarch that teaches the kids their important lessons. And they're really good on the show. Well, it turns out, in real life, Michael Landon was actually kind of a skeezy dude. So here's an article here from the New York Post. It starts, says, it's enough to make Reverend Alden, the virtuous pastor on the hit TV series Little House on the Prairie, choke on his communion wine. Actress Karen Grassel, who played Ma Ingalls on the 70s and early 80s show, revealed that Michael Landon, who portrayed her wholesome on-screen husband, would openly talk about his libido on set. I didn't want to think about his fill in the blank, Grassel recalls in her memoir, but he would just talk about it a bunch. And he would come on set and just talk about, I'm taking these supplements. It's really helping my you-know-what. And the problem is that this was like, what, 1979? It's like we didn't discover sexual harassment until like, I don't know, 2008. They just are like, what's the big deal? Why can't I talk about this on set? But it gets even worse from his lewd conduct. He also ended up divorcing his second wife, and then married an 18-year-old stand-in from the set. She was like the stand-in, I think, for Mary. Christine Clarico, Cindy. He was married. Oh no, it wasn't just that he left his wife. The married actor was having an affair with Cindy Clarico, a teenager who was working as a stand-in for co-star Melissa Francis. She played Cassandra Ingalls. It was a daughter I think they adopted later in like season 8. So this would have been like in 1983. Clarico was 18 years old. I think he was like 40. So, but he went on to marry her, and I think she was his wife until he died. I think he died in the early 90s from pancreatic cancer or something like that. And then she passed away in 2018. So yeah, it's not even just like having a divorce, but he would, you know, talk about all kinds of bad stuff on set. And they all knew. It said like they all knew about the affair and they didn't like it, but they just kind of put up with it and would just talk about it behind everybody's back. And you just had to deal with it because he is Michael Landon. He's touched by an angel. He's Highway to Heaven, you know. Nobody puts Michael Landon in the corner, you know, whatever that might be. All right, the next one, of course, when you think of TV dads, who is one of the most famous TV dads in history? And he was also the one, it was definitely sad to really let us down with a really bad scandal. It's one thing what Michael Landon did, cheating on your spouse and then having an affair and then marrying a younger co-star. That's one thing. But this one takes the cake as probably the worst one of the whole bunch. And that would be Bill Cosby, Cliff Huxtable of The Cosby Show, which ran from 1984 to 1992. He's probably the most famous sitcom dad of the 1980s, right? Bill Cosby was everywhere. You got your Jell-O pudding, Kodak film. That was a horrible Bill Cosby impression. But that bad impression is still nowhere near as bad as the things that Bill Cosby did. Of course, including Leonard Part 6, one of the worst films of all time. That is actually worse than some of the misconduct he was accused of. Leonard Part 6, absolutely terrible film that he was involved in. Look it up if you have the stomach for it. What happened was in 2014, multiple allegations emerged that Bill Cosby sexually assaulted dozens of women, dozens of them, throughout his film career. He has been accused by over 60 women of rape, drug-facilitated sexual assault, sexual battery, child sexual abuse, and sexual harassment. The earliest incidents allegedly took place in the mid-1960s. The assault allegations against Cosby became more public after a stand-up routine by fellow comedian Hannibal Buress in October 2014. The dates of the alleged incidents span from 1965 to 2008. Cosby maintained his innocence and denied the allegations, but they effectively ended his career and destroyed his legacy. It says 97 colleges and universities rescinded honorary degrees that they gave him. Most of the alleged acts fall outside the statute of limitations for criminal legal proceedings. I think charges were filed in some cases, though. No, right, they were filed. In 2014, Judy Huth filed a civil suit against Cosby in California, alleging he assaulted her in 1975. The trial began in 2022, and the jury ruled in Huth's favor. Cosby was ordered to pay $500,000 in compensatory damages, and I think there's still several ongoing suits there. So he should have taken his own advice. You know, he helps Theo graduate from high school. You know, maybe he just wanted Theo out of the way so there's other high school girls waiting for him. I don't know what the deal was there, but Bill Cosby, Cliff Huxtable, can you believe it? Well, you can believe it because you know that one. That's probably one of the most famous ones. The next one, number three, this one's going into more. I did not grow up on The Cosby Show as much, but I definitely grew up on this show. So this one, when I found out the scandal with this actor, TV dad, I could not believe it. And that would be, of course, Seventh Heaven. He played Eric Camden, a Protestant minister, quote unquote, though we never find out the denomination he belongs to. I don't even know if he mentions Jesus at all in the entire show. So maybe he's a Unitarian. I'm not sure. But he plays like this minister, right? And he's got, you know, his wife and their kids, Matt, Simon, Mary, Lucy, Ruthie. I always thought they had seven kids. They have five kids, seven people in the household, right? Of course, Seventh Heaven. When I see those smiling faces, they'll never suspect what I did. What are you doing? Right, so Seventh Heaven aired from 1996 for 10 seasons, 1996 to 2006. So that was right in my junior high up through college. So I grew up with Seventh Heaven, watched, you know, the cast grow up alongside me, similar to Boy Meets World. Like, it's weird when you grow up as a kid and you watch a show with other kids and they're growing up alongside you. The big one for me watching that, of course, would have been Boy Meets World. But Seventh Heaven was definitely, you know, number two or number three, and remembering that growing up and watching. And he was kind of like Pa Ingalls, you know, he was the patriarch who would give the moral lessons. He was someone who was prone to panic all the time. Like, I remember in Seventh Heaven episodes, everybody was always spying on everybody and snitching on everybody. There's a lot of comedy videos online that talk about this, but every plot was basically someone did something, not necessarily bad, but there's a misunderstanding that could easily arise from it. And then everyone else is snitching. And it, like, basically Seventh Heaven was a huge, there was a giant Gestapo house where everybody is spying on everybody else, trying to meddle in their affairs. And Eric Camden wants to do that with everybody else, and will flip out on even the lightest things. Like with Matt, he's like, are you out of your mind? Telling his son, like, he was holding like a marijuana joint for a friend or something like that. Well, let's talk about flipping out about things that we did, Mr. Campbell. So there's an article here in the LA Times. It says, Seventh Heaven alums condemn TV dad Stephen Collins' sexual abuse ahead of rewatch. So what a lot of these people do, by the way, who are in these popular sitcoms to prolong their careers or have something to do, they'll do rewatch podcasts. Like The Office did that. Boy Meets World has done that, where it's like, you know, some of them do it to try to keep their careers out there. I think a lot of them doing it just for fun, where they'll sit down and they'll rewatch the old episodes and they'll talk about them. And that's a fun thing to do if you are nostalgic and want to relive some of these shows with these cast members. So some of this cast of Seventh Heaven were doing this rewatch podcast, and then the news broke. That was just a few years ago. The news broke about Stephen Collins and the abuse allegations there. So they made a statement about it on their podcast. And this was something, he publicly admitted to this in 2014. So that was a while ago. Let's see, that would have been 8 years after the show ended. Before rewatch podcast became a big thing. So it says, you know, we all want, you know, we see all your comments. We know how excited you all are for this rewatch. Before we get into that, it's important that we say something about Stephen Collins. That's Beverly Mitchell played Lucy on the show. And they, you know, they talk about all forms of abuse, sexual abuse of any kind. It's inexcusable. Victims of abuse need to be shown compassion. It's so funny that they have to say that, right? It's like what Stephen Collins did, it was wrong then and it's wrong now. To reference the video my wife did recently. Go check out her channel, of course. I'm not just saying that because she's sitting here with me, because we're hanging out now while I help her to recuperate from her brain surgery. So it says here, detectives in New York and LA investigated Collins in 2012 after his second wife, Faye Grant, told police he may have sexually abused underage girls. The investigations were made 2 years later after an audio recording surfaced in which a man purported to be Collins confessed to sexually abusing three girls. This is in a 2012 therapy session. Collins told media outlets that occurred in 1973, 1982, and 1984. No excuse, man. At least by 94, we knew this was bad. In 1973, I honestly, when you look at like old TV shows and how they treat like child actors, I don't even think they knew sexual abuse back then was really a thing. I don't think they knew it back then. But in 1994, man, come on. Although I'm kidding. Obviously, this is something that's wrong and you should know that. And thank goodness this has come to light and people can be held accountable for their actions. And so they went through, it says here, Collins was never prosecuted due to statutes of limitations. Still, after his public confession, he was fired from roles in Ted 2. Seventh Heaven reruns were pulled by the cable channel UPTV, which had shown the series 21 hours a week. I love when some TV networks turn into that, by the way, like UPTV. I never even heard of UPTV. They're like, we have unlimited Seventh Heaven. Roll it, boys. It's kind of like how USA Network. USA is basically just Law & Order SVU reruns. That is all it is, and I am here for that. I am here for that, by the way. So they talked about that. Our hope for this podcast is to reconnect you, our fans, to relive 90s nostalgia and share our fondest memories. So let's get the sexual abuse allegations out of the way. The last one would be Jeffrey Tambor from Arrested Development. He played the patriarch, the grandfather on the show, the one who was involved in all the schemes and stuff and ends up trying to escape going to prison. And he's hilarious in the show because Arrested Development's a hilarious show. But it turns out he had a scandal. He was engaged in, well, first he verbally harassed his co-star, Lucille, who played his wife on the show. Are we really surprised by all of that? Sometimes when people are their characters, like, turns out they were doing this in real life. Oh, that fits. That kind of fits. When you watch some of these shows, you're like, oh, they're not actually acting when they're going through this. That's just That's just kind of who they are. So Tambor was in this show on Amazon called Transparent, where I think he plays a transgender woman or something like that. And I guess he was sexually harassing other people. I'm not sure if they were women or transgender women, which would be men. But I guess he was accused of sexually harassing other people. A Hollywood Reporter published an interview with Tambor where he talked about the Transparent controversy, saying that acting is difficult and mean, and he had a blow up with his co-star. But he tried to say everything was blown out of proportion. Though later I tried to say, I'm not trying to belittle or excuse anything. But in the entertainment industry, it's incredibly common to have people who are, Jason Bateman was saying of him, there are people who are, in quotes, difficult to work with. I like to think that all the people on Arrested Development, that's actually their personalities. And they were just kind of being themselves on the show. So that would round it out. I don't know if anybody looked up to Jeffrey Tambor as a TV role model. Hopefully not, but that's a nice one to kind of round out everything. So that's all I have for you today. Hope that was an interesting walk down memory lane. And yeah, I just hope you all have a very blessed weekend.